He is risen. Alleluia.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
No bride wants to sit in her dressing room forever. No mother wants to be in labor forever. No Christian wants to be on this earth forever. We want to be where Jesus is, to see what he sees and to be like his glorious body. We will. We will soon. But for now, we must wait. And as we wait, we are not sitting around idle. But we do the things that we are supposed to be doing. We are not idle. We are to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray. We are not idle, but when we speak, regardless of what we are talking about, when we speak as if we are speaking the very words of God. We are not to be idle, but we use all that we have been given to serve others. It is not easy. It is not easy to be doing the things that we are supposed to be doing. You see it, and the world sees it. The world is more than happy to highlight our faults and our failings. You are not a good enough mother, it says. Our own hearts accuse us. You do not love your mother enough. Who of us could possibly love our mothers enough? We feel the weight of God's law in our hearts. God's wrath. We call it little pricks of conscience. We're not even perfect by our own standards, and others see those faults and jump all over us, yet we've done the same to them. It's easy to nitpick at others and their faults to take the attention off of us and our faults. Sometimes we feel guilty, other times we may not, but that does not make us innocent. Satan stores all of our faults. He does his best to remember every single thing that we have ever done wrong. God has forgotten them all. But Satan keeps a file on us, a big file, and he is waiting till we are weak so he can pull out that file and give it to our sinful flesh to torment our conscience, perhaps on our deathbed. You are not good enough. We haven't been as good as even we wanted to be. We haven't loved our mothers enough. We haven't been perfect mothers or fathers, for who possibly could be? We haven't lived reconciled and godly lives with all people. We have regrets. Yes, we have regrets. And it is on our deathbed when Satan wants to thrust all of those into the forefront of our mind and cloud out God and his forgiveness. And the sinful flesh is more than happy, and it will fight tooth and nail trying to separate you from God. This is why Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Counselor, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Helper. We need him. We need what he brings to us. He is not some ordinary kind of counselor, but he is the kind who stands before us, or stands next to us, as we stand before the judge accused. And notice how he helps us. He doesn't stop the killing of Christians. He doesn't stop the world's accusations. He may not always make us feel better about ourselves either, but he preaches Christ. He preaches Christ to soothe our troubled hearts. This is the Spirit's primary purpose, to teach you about Christ and what you need. Physical pain is a horrible distraction. Mental anguish is even worse. The Spirit's answer for both? Christ for you. So understand, the Spirit's work is not to make men babble in incoherent languages, as some Christians teach. He isn't sent to empower charismatic preachers who make you feel good about yourself when you leave this building. And he doesn't always come through the music either, that is, the musical tune. Pastors can talk a lot about God, They can be the most charismatic and the best orators that you have ever heard, but if they are not preaching Christ and his forgiveness, then how are you saved? The music, the tune could be the most lovely, uplifting tune you have ever possibly heard as well. But if the text itself does not accent Christ and his forgiving love for you, then why sing it? Sing it at home. It's the gospel. We need the gospel. We need to hear yet again of Christ and his forgiveness, for it is only through that gospel that the Spirit offers us true and lasting comfort. As you look at ourselves and our works, there is no comfort in them. We all have regrets. We all could go back and do it better. But in the gospel, the Spirit gives us something that lasts into eternity. And that is why Jesus gives to us the Spirit yet again. He knows Satan will still attack. He knows your conscience will still be burdened with regrets and failures. So he speaks Christ to you. The Spirit holds before your eyes and says, "Look. Look at this man. He is your God. Look at him and how much he loved you. He is your God. Look at his holy wounds, for from them flows forgiveness. That blood covered all your regrets. It covers all of your sins, all your failings, and everything else. Satan has no leg to stand on. He cannot accuse you in the least, for God has forgotten all of your sins, gone forever. Forgiven and forgotten. Gone forever because of Christ. In Christ you are perfect. A perfect mother. A perfect father. A perfect child. In Christ and in Christ alone. So look at him. Look at him, for he will not leave you in your hour of need. He will not abandon you on your deathbed. The Spirit has convinced you that all that Christ has done is for you. He has given you the faith to believe that Christ is your Savior, and God credits that faith as righteousness. And so you are citizens of heaven. Christ is returning back for you to bring you home. It doesn't matter if you feel like it or not. Sometimes you feel like a Christian, other times not, but your feelings don't determine reality. Sometimes you look like a Christian in how you live, other times not so much. But once again, it's Christ. It's Christ and his forgiveness for you that determines what you are. You are children of God. And so he sends to you the Holy Spirit, who strengthens you to endure all accusations. For Christ is greater than all accusations. He sends to you the Holy Spirit to soothe your heart as your conscience troubles you. For Christ is even greater than your own conscience. He sends his Holy Spirit to comfort you, to endure even death. For Christ is greater than death itself. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, nothing at all. Christ is greater. And so even as your body turns back into dust, Christ and his forgiveness will still be with you. It will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You believe this. And so you confess this. God is my Savior. And so you seek to do the things that we are to be doing in this life. You do not indulge in sin, but you flee sin. You have not given in to every temptation. You want to show your mom how much she means to you. You want to be a good child. You want to give yourself fully and completely to your kids, even if they don't always say thank you. You seek to carry out the will of God for your life while you are here. You are not a reckless sinner who cares nothing for the word of God. You are not wallowing in sin. But like Joseph in Potiphar's house, you flee that sin when it becomes apparent in your life. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. That is the work of the Spirit in you to this very day. And so when you find yourself in the midst of despair or trouble or hardship or whatever bad situation you may have gotten yourself into, when you say, Christ is with me, he is still my Savior, regardless of what friends or other people think, acknowledge that too as the work of the Holy Spirit. His work in you is not yet complete, which is simply to say, you're not perfect yet. You still sin. The flesh still rears up its ugly head and still gets the best of you at times. Your conscience may still prick you, and so you need Christ and his forgiveness yet again. It's not a one-time thing that happened a long time ago. It's a daily occurrence, a daily receiving of Christ and his forgiving love. And so Christ opens up his mouth and speaks to you the Spirit again. And the Spirit carries Christ into your heart yet again to wash away all your sins and all your regrets and all your pain and all others. Keep that always as your focus. Christ and his forgiveness. Because that alone is what can save. If you look for comfort in your feelings, then your comfort will last only as long as you feel good. If you look for comfort in friends or family, then it will last only as long as they're in a good mood. If you look for comfort in your physical things, your house or other such things, it will last only as long as you have those things. But if you look for comfort in forgiveness, given in word and sacrament, if you look for comfort in forgiveness, it will last as long as God is faithful. And you will not be disappointed. Again, Christ at the beginning of his service, again, declared you to be forgiven children. Understand just how great and marvelous this truly is. It truly is a good Mother's Day because Christ has come and forgiven yet again. So it matters not what other people think, whether we were a great, terrific mother or mediocre, or even worse, Christ forgives. It matters not if we have shown perfect love to our mother, for who of us ever could? Christ has forgiven yet again. He has ripped open heaven to you at the beginning of this service and announced to heaven and earth, you are his forever. And again, his body and blood are present for you on the altar. You take these things for granted because they are always here, but God is giving you heaven. He has given you forgiveness again and again. He does it because he loves. He loves you, and he wants you to be in his heaven with him. So Christ comes yet again. How precious and marvelous are these means of grace. They are our comfort and our joy, for through them God sees us through any troubles or difficulties we have and onward toward our future home. Alongside of this outward testimony in the means of grace, there is also an inward testimony of the Spirit in our hearts. This is secondary. This is a secondary comfort to the means of grace, but nevertheless, it still is a comfort. It is not the same thing as your feelings, for as I said earlier, your feelings can mislead you. But whoever has the Spirit in their hearts will confess, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me or you from the love of God that is found in Christ Jesus. It may be confessed with a broken heart and in the midst of tears, but it will be confessed. And again, I am a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for I have been baptized into Christ. Therefore, I am clothed with Christ. This is our confession. This too is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. So we have this longing, this desire to hear the word of God yet again more. We have this longing and desire to hear the word of forgiveness yet again. We have this desire to eat this holy meal yet again. This too is the work of the Spirit driving us to give us the true and lasting comfort. So don't overlook it. Don't overlook that inward testimony of the Spirit. It is not your primary means of comfort, but nevertheless, it is still a reality. We are sealed with the Spirit. He dwells in our hearts, not just in some sentimentality, but in reality. God lives in us. And so we are busy doing the things that God wants us to do. We are not sitting around idly waiting for Christ to return. But we flee temptation. People can still accuse us. We have many regrets. Our conscience can still afflict us. But we are convinced. We are convinced. Because of the Spirit, we are convinced that Christ is returning for us. He is risen. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.